When King David was old and advanced in years, he couldn't even keep himself warm. He was worn out. His organs were worn out. He had to have help keeping warm in bed. Even the clothing they put on him didn't help. So they sent for a young woman that came in and became his nurse and slept in his bed with him to keep him warm. And during that time, he was not able to carry on effectively his duties as the king. So seeing this, his spoiled son, Adonijah, and it specifically mentions a verse here in verse 6, his father never crossed him. Prior to that verse in verse 6, and I'm reading from 1 Kings chapter 1 now, 1 Kings chapter 1. Prior to that verse, you'll see in verse 5 that Adonijah declared himself, he says, I'll be king. And so what does he do? He prepares for himself chariots and horsemen, 50 men to run before him. You know, I mean, he's just going to exalt himself. Why? Verse 6, his father never disciplined him. He never displeased him, never said no to him. Whatever he wanted to do, he did. Whatever he had, whatever he wanted. And the Bible specifically said that David never asked, why have you done this? You know, never made him question his actions. So he was a spoiled young man who just exalted himself. I'm going to be the king now. While David's still living. Never even told him. So he goes off and he brings with him, he gets on his side, some men. He conferred with Joab. Joab was the general of the army. And he conferred with Abiathar. Abiathar was one of the priests. And you'll see him referred to in 1 Samuel chapter 22. And it says, the one son of Ahimelech, the son of Ahab. I'm reading from 1 Samuel chapter 22, beginning in verse 20. It says that Abiathar was one of the ones that escaped when Saul's general, Doeg, decided to kill the priest who supported David. And it says in verse 21, and Abiathar told David that Saul had killed the priests of the Lord. Then David said to Abiathar, I knew on that day that Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have brought about the death of every person to your father's household. Stay with me. Don't be afraid. For he who seeks my life seeks your life, for you are safe with me. And Abiathar then followed David. He continued to attend to David and was with David. But here, David's son Adonijah goes to him and says, you know, I think I should be king. I'm going to be king. Declare my, and how about helping me and anointing me and declaring that I'm king? So he did. And you see that he all of a sudden declares himself king. He runs out, he invites all of his other brothers, he does not invite Solomon, he does not invite Bathsheba, and by this time now, Nathan, the prophet, and the other priest, who was Zadok, go to Bathsheba and they say, we've got to get to David, you've got to go in front of him, you've got to go in and talk to David, you've got to tell him that Adonijah is declaring himself king. And you must go there. And then while you're there, we'll come in. I'll come in. When you're there, I'll come in and say, I want to see David too. So she does. So beginning at verse 14, we'd come down to that last time. Beginning verse 4, behold, you are still there speaking. While you're still speaking, I'll come in. And that's verse 14. So Bathsheba went in before the king in the bedroom. Now he's there. He's in this bedroom. He's virtually bedridden. David is worn out. We talked about that last time. He's very frail at this point. Now the king was very old. And Abishag, that's the young woman, the young beautiful woman that slept in his bed and stayed with him, though he did not cohabit with her. She was a Shunammite, was ministering to him. She was like his nurse. She was helping him. She was feeding him. She was taking care of him, bathing him, helping him. Then Bathsheba bowed and prostrated herself before the king. And the king said, what is it you want? And she says, verse 17, my lord, You swore to your maidservant, meaning herself. And you notice how great respect they have, you know, for that office. She's bowing down before him. By the eternal your God, saying, surely your son Solomon shall be king after me and shall sit on my throne. This is what you said. Well, now, behold, Adonijah is king. And now, my lord, the king, you do not know it. I mean, he went on and declared himself king. He's acting as king. You know, a lot of people think all you have to do is declare it, and then all of a sudden you're there, right? You just say you're king, and then all of a sudden everybody else, well, I guess you must be king because you said you're king. And it wasn't so. So now she says, and he has sacrificed oxen, fatlings, and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the sons of the king. All his other brothers were invited. You can come on in, and I'm going to show you that I'm the king. He doesn't invite Solomon because he knows what was a promise from David to Solomon, but he doesn't invite. And Abiathar, the priest, he had Abiathar, the priest, and Joab, the commander of the army, but he has not invited Solomon, your servant. And what that means that Solomon's life was threatened. Solomon is a rival. If he gets the kingship, he's going to come after Solomon. As for you now, my lord, the king, the eyes of all Israel are on you to tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord, the king, after him. You need to speak. You need to say, because everybody's waiting for you to declare it. Otherwise, it will come about, as soon as my lord, the king, sleeps with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon will be considered offenders, sinners, or outcasts, or transgressors, or traitors. You can take any one of those words. And they're going to come after us. That's what she's saying. They're going to kill us. They're going to kill me and my son Solomon. Behold, while she was still speaking then with the king, Nathan the prophet came in. They told the king, saying, here is Nathan the prophet. And when he came in before the king, he prostrated himself before the king and with his face on the ground. Then Nathan said, my lord the king, have you said that Adonijah shall be king after me? And he shall sit on my throne? I mean, have you said those words that he's supposed to be the king? For he has gone down today and has sacrificed oxen and fatlings and sheep in abundance. So he tells the same story. He's invited the king's sons and the commanders of the army and Abiathar the priest. And behold, they're eating and drinking before him and they're saying, long live Adonijah. King, long live King Adonijah. But me, even your servant, in other words, here is Nathan the prophet, me, your servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and your servant Solomon, he has not invited. Now, Benaniah was a man who was the head of the guard. He was the chief man of the king's guard. He was the head of the Cherethites, Pelethites, and so on. These are mercenaries that were hired to protect the king. Sometimes you have to have, you know, hired guards. You know, we'll hire you, I'm going to pay you a nice fee, and you come in, and we pay you to defend the throne and to protect the king at all costs. You're hired. But many, in Russia, they had a group of people that surrounded the Tsar, and they were there for one reason, to protect the Tsar. In the United States, we have the Secret Service, and they protect the President of the United States. Almost every country who has a monarch or a head has a guard around it. You have the Swiss Guard, you know, over in the Vatican. You have other places where you have the guard in England or surrounding for the royal family. Every country that has a leader has to protect that leader, because you always have crazy people out there that blame everything on the leader and they want to kill him. So you always have these situations. So David had this. And Benaniah was David's man. He was the man that took over and watched over David. So he said, he has invited us. He has invited Benaniah. He has invited Solomon. Has this thing been done by my lord the king? In other words, did you set this up, David? And have you not shown to your servant, you who should be sit on the throne of my Lord the King? I mean, you, haven't you told me before? Then King David said, now he's tired, he's weak, he's not well, but he says, call Bathsheba to me. So when Nathan went in, Bathsheba went out. He says, call Bathsheba to me. She came into the king's presence and stood before the king. The king vowed and said, as the eternal lives, who has redeemed my life from all distress, surely as I vowed to you by the eternal, the God of Israel, saying, your son Solomon shall be king after me. He shall sit on my throne in my place. I will indeed do so this day. I'm going to fulfill what I said to you, Bathsheba. He's going to be the king. Then Bathsheba bowed her face to the ground, prostrated herself before the king, and said, may the Lord King David live forever. Because, you know, he's going to do, because she's very relieved, because she doesn't know. Remember, Adonijah was kind of one of the favorite sons. He never questioned what he wanted to do. He never said, why are you doing anything? He never disciplined him in any way. So everybody thought, well, boy, maybe David is just going to go along with this. Well, if Adonijah wants the throne, let's let Adonijah have the throne. But when he said, no, I vowed, I told you, and I'm going to keep my word to you. So as the eternal lives, your son Solomon shall sit on the throne after me. So she says, may the Lord my king live forever. Then King David said, call to me. Now, how are you going to do this? I mean, here's over here. Here is Adonijah. He's got a group of people. He's got some very prominent people. Joab, very big name in the nation of Israel. He's got Abiathar, a priest. Pretty big name in Israel. He's got all the king's sons who were invited to the sacrifice. And they're all there saying, Adonijah, long live King Adonijah. And how are you going to do this now? You could declare civil war. You could go after Adonijah. You could say, okay, mount the, get the guards, and we're going to go over. I get the Cherethites, the Pelethites, and so on. And let's go over and let's go kill him. Let's destroy him. But he didn't do it that way. Listen to how he did it. The king said, take with you the servants of your Lord, and have my son Solomon ride on my own mule and bring him down to Gihon. Let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet, I want him, two people, the priest and the top prophet, anoint him there as king over Israel, and, verse 34, blow the trumpet and say, long live King Solomon. Now, why did they say blow the trumpet? Well, that's what they did in those days. People mounted to the throne by the trumpet, okay? Blow the trumpet. You see in 2 Samuel, when Absalom decided he was going to take over, he actually became king and threw David out. David had to run for his life. In 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 10, but Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the shofar, the trumpet means the shofar, the ram's horn, when you hear that, you say, Absalom is king in Hebron. Everybody shout. He had these spies, planted different people around. You know, if you get a few people organized, and most of the people are not organized, you can take over. That's how that's how Hitler did. With a few organized people, he swayed Germany. He took over Germany. And so when they blew that trumpet, all of a sudden they were going to say it. And that's how all the kings, by the way, the kings ascended to the throne with the sound of the shofar. And the shouts and the sound and the loud shouts declaring, long live the king. That's how they did. So here he comes. And he says, you take with you Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and You blow the trumpet and you say, long live King Solomon. Then shall you come up after him, and he shall come up and sit on my throne and be king in my place. Now David, even though David is old and David is decrepit, he's weak now. He doesn't have the strength. He can't even keep warm. But he had the plan. Here's how we're going to do it. We don't have to go to war here. I don't want to have to go to war. Then you shall come up. He'll sit on the throne and be king in my place. For I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and Judah. And if anyone questions it, they can come to me. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said, amen. Thus may the Eternal, the God of my Lord, the king, say, as the Eternal has been with my Lord, the king, so may he be with Solomon and make this throne greater than the throne of my Lord, King David. And so here's Benaiah, the guard, the head of the guard. He says, yeah, that's the way to do it. Now, there's a passage over in 2 Samuel chapter 8. You'll see these were the people that when David became the king, he had a struggle becoming king. He had Saul was there, even though God had anointed him king while Saul was living, and he would not step up. He would not kill Saul. He had chances to kill Saul. He would never do it. He said, when Saul's dead, then I'll be. But after Saul died, many people thought Saul's heirs, some of Saul's people, should be king. And so there was a struggle for a while before David actually ascended to the throne and was able to be king over Israel. But here's what you have in 2 Samuel chapter 8. I'm reading from 2 Samuel chapter 8, dropping down to verse 15. 2 Samuel 8, verse 15. So David reigned over all Israel. Finally, he is ensconced as king. And David, listen to what it says here. And David administered justice and righteousness for all the people. He was a good king. He administered justice, righteousness for all the people. And here are the people who worked with him. And Joab was over the army. He was the son of Zeruiah. And Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was the recorder. And Zadok, the son of Ahitub, and Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar, were priests. And Zeruiah was secretary. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the Cherethites and the Pelethites. And David's sons were chief ministers. So these are the people. And these were the people that were still pretty much there at the time when Adonijah decides, I'm going to declare myself king. So the Cherethites, Pelethites, were mercenaries. The Cherethites were mercenaries from the Philistines, and they formed a bodyguard for David, and both the Cherethites and the Pelethites were under Benaiah, and he was their commander. They were mercenaries, meaning you hired them to defend. Okay, so verse 38, dropping down. So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, the Cherethites, the Pelethites, went down with and had Solomon ride on the king's mule and brought him to Gihon. Zadok the priest then took the horn of oil and the tent and anointed Solomon. Then verse 39, they blew the trumpet and all the people said, long live King Solomon. All the people went up after him, and the people were playing on flutes and rejoicing with great joy, so that the earth shook at their noise. Now, verse 41. Adonijah and all the guests who were with him heard it. What's all that? What's all that noise? What's all that commotion? What's going on? Something's going on. And as they were finishing eating, they were having a big banquet. They'd sacrificed all these sheep and everything. They were having a big banquet. Now, what do we do? And so they hear all this. When Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, why is this Why is the city making such an uproar? While he was still speaking, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar the priest, came, and he says to Adonijah, come in, for you have, and Adonijah said to him, come in, for you are a valiant man, but when you bring good news. And Jonathan said, Adonijah, no, I'm not bringing good news. Verse 43, our Lord King David has made Solomon king. Uh-oh. Now, you know, there is a scripture that Jesus said, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And here is the portrayal of that. So here's Adonijah, I'll be king. They all be king. Get that chariot, have 50 men run in front of me and declare me king. And then all of a sudden, who's king? Solomon's king, not you. Oh, no, not Solomon. Yeah, Solomon is king. They blew the trumpet. He's king. I don't have good news for you. So verse 44, chapter 1 of 1 Kings, verse 44, the king has also sent with him Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, the Cherethites and the Pelethites. They're all around Solomon. He's got all those on his side. They have made him ride on the king's mule. Evidently, the king had a certain mule that he rode on. Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king at Gihon, and they have come up from there rejoicing so that the city is in an uproar. This is the noise you've heard. All the people now are declaring Solomon king. And then he says, verse 40, besides, Solomon has even taken his seat on the throne of the kingdom. Now, Solomon's sitting on David's throne. Ooh, not good news for Adonijah. Verse 47, moreover, he says, I'll give you a little more information. Moreover, the king's servants came to bless our Lord King David, saying, may your God make the name of Solomon better than your name and his throne greater than your throne. And king bowed himself on the bed. The king has also said thus, blessed be the eternal God of Israel, who has granted one to sit on my throne today while my own eyes see it. So David is even totally put him there. David is completely for him. David has backed him. David has given him his imprimatur and has stamped him as the king. Then all the priests of Adonijah were terrified. Notice verse 49. They arose and each went his way. Let's get out of here. You know, we don't want to be associated with Adonijah now. We got another person king and we backed the wrong horse here. We were backing Adonijah. And Adonijah was afraid of Solomon. And he arose and he went and he took hold of the horns of the altar. Now they had the altar of burnt offering outside, and then there was, and there, if you took hold of the horns, it was supposed to be like, please don't kill me. This is the mercy. This is, please don't kill me. Take hold of the horns of the altar. Verse 51. Now it was told Solomon, saying, behold, Adonijah is afraid. Now your brother now, he's scared. He thinks you're going to come after him. And he is afraid of King Solomon, for behold, he has taken hold of the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servant to death with the sword. Please have him promise me he will not kill me. Because it was customary. You know, the kings of England, it didn't matter if you were a brother or sister. Getting to that throne was number one, and you're going to kill all your, you know, all the, even your brothers and half-brothers and sisters. Whatever you have to do to get that throne, you have to do it. Solomon said, verse 52. So they come to Solomon, you know. Solomon is a man, he doesn't want to fight. He doesn't want war. So Solomon said, if he is a worthy man, he's a good man. He's going to be a worthy man, a loyal man. Not one of his hairs will fall to the ground. But if he's going to be a wicked man, wickedness is found in him, he will die. In other words, if he's going to be loyal, he's going to not cause trouble, not going to make problems, everything's going to be cool. Not going to cause any trouble. I'm not going to take any action on him. But if wickedness is found in him, he will die. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar, and you know, hey, Adonijah, you don't have to worry. And he came and prostrated himself before King Solomon. Thank you, you know, just thank you. You're not going to kill me. Because he knew what he was going to do to Solomon, you know. He knew it. If once he had gotten in there, he would have killed Solomon. Now, he's like, oh, maybe Solomon's going to kill me. But no, Solomon says no. Look. And what does Solomon say to him? He prostrates himself before King Solomon. Solomon said to him, go down to your house. Just go home. Go home. Enjoy your life, you know, have a good time. Chapter 2. As David's time to die drew near, he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I'm going the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, show yourself strong. Keep charge of the eternal your God, to walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, his testimonies, and according to what is written in the law of Moses, that you may be successful to all that you do and wherever you turn, so that the Eternal may carry out his promise, which he has spoken to me, and so on. He's giving him all this stuff, and that you'll lack nothing. You won't lack a man to sit on the throne of Israel. Now, verse 5. Now, you know Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and what he did to the two commanders of the armies of Israel, Abner and Ner. I mean, Joab was, you know, he was a vicious guy, and David said, you know, I don't want him. And he put the blood of war on his belt about his waist and on his sandals. So act according to your wisdom and do not let his gray hair go down to the grave, to Sheol, in peace. One of the great blessings of life is to die in peace. To die without violence. To die naturally, you know. That's one of the great blessings. A not a great blessing is to not go down to the grave in peace. That is, you go down in violence. Somebody kills you. Somebody hurts you, and you're going down. That is not a blessing. But he does not want Joab to go down because of all the things that he did. He said, don't let him go down. And I want you to show kindness to the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and let them be among those who eat at your table, for they assisted me when I fled from Solomon, your brother. They were with me. They were loyal. Behold, there is with you Shimei, the son of Gera and the Benjamite. Now it was he who cursed me with a violent curse on the day that I went to Mahanaim. But when he came down to me at the Jordan, I swore to him by the Eternal, saying, I will not put you to death with the sword. Now, therefore, do not let him go unpunished, for you are a wise man. You know what you will know what you ought to do with him, and you will bring his gray hair down to the Sheol with blood. Remember, that guy just cursed David. One of David's men wanted to go, and David at that time said, let him curse. Let him curse me. You know, everybody's, I'm thrown. And then David didn't do anything. But now David's telling Solomon, this guy is a maniac. You know, you got to take care of him. Chapter 2 of 1 Kings and verse 10. Now, David slept with his fathers. He was buried in the city of David. So he was very close to death. He was so weak. So the days of David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 he reigned in Hebron, and 33 years he reigned in Jerusalem. Solomon sat on the throne of David his father, and the kingdom was firmly established. Now here comes a little story, a sad side story, beginning in verse 13. Now Adonijah, the son of Haggith, that's his mother. You know, I blame his father. David was not never corrected him. But his mother must have never corrected him either. He's just kind of a spoiled brat. And if you look through the kings, you know, many times it will mention the king's mother. They all, you know, some of them had the same father, but then they would talk about different mothers, you know. And depending on who the mother was, how she corrected, how she guided the kids, how she taught them, how she did with them, you see some of the kings went beautifully. They were dedicated to the eternal, and other kings just went off in craziness in worshiping false gods. So the mother had a very powerful factor here. It mentions his mother because she didn't do a good job. I think that's what we can discern here. So Adonijah comes to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. Now he comes to her. And she said, "Do you come peacefully?" He said, "Yes, you know, I'm peacefully." Then he said, I just have something to say to you." And she said, "Well, what do you want? You know, speak." He said, "You know that the kingdom was mine and that all Israel expected me to be king. However, the kingdom has turned about and has become my brother's, for it was from, for it was his from the eternal." Now, I know he's got the kingdom. You know, I had it for a while, and he's got it. Now, I'm just making one small request of you. I just want one little small request. Don't refuse me this request. And she said, "Well, say on, speak up." And he said, "Please speak to Solomon. You go to Solomon the king, for he will not refuse you. And say to him, you know, that he may give me Abishag, the Shunammite, as a wife. I want that beautiful girl that ministered, was a nurse to David, that sat beside him, that slept in David's bed. I just would like to have her as my wife. Could you ask him if he would give that, grant that?" And Bathsheba is just, you know, she's real sweet, and she's listening to him, and she says, "Well, okay, very well. I will speak to the king for you. I mean, if that's what you want, you know, I mean, he's got the kingdom. You had it. You know, we don't have to have everything. We'll see what I can do." So verse 19, Bathsheba goes to the king Solomon. She says to speak to him for Adonijah. The king arose to meet her, bowed before her. He showed her absolute deference and respect. And he sat on his throne. Then he had a throne set for the king's mother, and she sat on his right. You know, this big chair here, come on. And she said, I'm making one small request of you. I just want to ask a little thing here. That's how he put it. You know, just a little small request. Do not refuse me." And the king said, "Well, ask, you know, my mother asked, for I will not refuse you, you know, I mean." And she said, "Let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah your brother as a wife." Now, see, Solomon was gifted with insight and wisdom. Even before God blessed him when he got on that throne. Remember, God finally said, "I'm going to give you wisdom above all the other." Already this guy was sharp. Already this guy was smart. Already this guy could see through it. And Solomon then answers very sarcastically, "And why not, you know, and why are you asking Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Well, why don't you just ask for him the kingdom? And why don't you just say, you know, he's my older brother, even for him, why don't you just ask the whole kingdom? And how about, you know, and for Abiathar the priest and Joab the son of Zeruiah, why don't you just have all those people be the king and put in power?" Then Solomon swore by the eternal, saying, "May God do so to me and more if Adonijah has not spoken the word against his own life." Well, what do you think would have happened if Adonijah could have taken Abishag? Okay? What do you think would have happened? What do you think would have happened if Adonijah had her as his wife? And he could say, "I have the woman that was with David." I hear a sound. Is there something? Okay. Well, he could say then, "Look, I've got her. She told me that he wanted, you know, David wanted me to have it. She told me that David had changed his mind, but that they plotted around." He could have made all kinds of things and had her be with him. Once she fell in love with him, she would have been loyal to her husband. And Solomon saw right through that plot. Yeah, sure you want him. Sure you want her as the wife. Sure you do. so that you can have the kingdom too. So Solomon said, I told him to go down there, and that if he behaved, everything would be. Not a hair of his head would fall, but now he has spoken a word against his own life. Now, therefore, as the Eternal lives, who has established me and set me on the throne of David my father, and who has made me a house as he has promised, surely Adonijah shall be put to death today. So King Solomon sent Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him, so he died. Benaniah, the head of the guard, you know, to protect the king, go down and take care of him. And that was it. Then Abiathar, the priest, the priest of the king, said, go to, the king said, by the way, then to Abiathar the priest. Now, who was Abiathar? You remember, Abiathar was the guy that went sided with Adonijah. So now Solomon's going to take care of this little group. Okay, he's going to take care of them. Because there was Abiathar, there was Joab, you remember? So now he goes to Abiathar the priest and he says, I want you to go to Anathoth, to your own field. For you deserve to die. You went with Adonijah. But I will not put you to death at this time, because you carried the ark of the Lord Eternal before my father David, and because you were afflicted in everything with which my father was afflicted. In other words, you were loyal to my father during a serious era, so I'm not going to kill you. I want you to go down to Anathoth. So Solomon dismissed Abiathar from being the priest, so that to the Eternal, in order to fulfill the word of the Eternal that he had spoken concerning the house of Eli. Now, Abiathar goes all the way back to Eli. You remember Eli? You remember Eli or Eli? He was the priest. He let his sons do all kinds of evil. And God said, because you've done that, you're not going to have a person sin. All your sons will not be on the throne anymore. But Abiathar was a great grandson of Eli. And so, bang, you're no priest. Get out. You're dismissing you. And he put Zadok in his place. Zadok was the new ruler of the priesthood. Okay, you see that in... In First Kings 2:27 here, that he dismisses Abiathar. And that's to fulfill the promise against Eli. So that's how this whole thing started. David, old, stricken in years, advanced in age. But you would have thought there would have been a nice, easy passage, wouldn't you? You would have thought that, you know, a lot of people have it in mind that, oh, just Solomon just took over after David, right? It wasn't that easy. But he did it in a way that did not divide Israel. He did it in a way that kept things right, that kept the people together. That was the wisdom of David. It was also the wisdom of Solomon. Later on, Solomon took care of Joab. Joab was gone. Abiathar was dismissed. Adonijah was taken care of. He was dead. And Solomon then reigned for 40 years on that throne, and a time of peace unparalleled in Israel's history. It was like the millennial rule. And it all began with a trumpet when they said, long live King Solomon.